This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by Geek Fuel. They ship out a mystery box for geeks, gamers, and Star Wars fans. Make sure you head to geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report and get your free bonus Star Wars item. And Entertain Art, official licensed ready-to-hang artwork from Walt Disney Studios, Marvel, Star Wars, and so many more. Make sure you go to StarWarsReport.com/art and use the promo code SWR20 for 20% off. Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, we're here to talk about the aftermath of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And how about that amazing trailer for Star Wars Rebels? Let's do it right now! Holy hot ham sandwich, everybody. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad to have you on board. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. Boy, howdy, do we have a great show for you. So much to talk about. Let's get ready to bring in our guests. The Star Wars Report podcast starts right now. Oh, it's good to be back. So good being home. I don't know why there's certain Jar Jar Binks lines that will just never leave me. Guys, I'm so excited to have you back to the Star Wars Report podcast. The first episode recorded in 2017, episode 255. As I briefly mentioned, I am your host, Riley Blanton. If you're a new listener and you like hopped on board, especially during the Rogue One madness, and you've stuck around to hear more of our thoughts, well, we appreciate you. And of course, certainly to everyone who's a longtime listener and supporter, and of course, those of you watching live on our Facebook page, welcome, welcome. So glad to have you on board. Let's waste no time. I want to bring in my co-host for the program, good buddy of mine and an amazing Star Wars friend, dad, and son, evidently. We'll talk about that here in a bit. It's Mr. Mark Herleman.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? It's feeling like Hoth in here, but I'm ready to go. I got the heater cranking out the BTUs. As long as I got R2 keeping it going, we're okay.
Mark, my favorite time of the year podcasting with Mark is Christmas. Not because of the cheer and the warmth and the excitement of a new Star Wars movie. It's just seeing the poor man in the studio, because you don't have central heating in your studio. So like Mark literally is freezing to death just to record this podcast for you guys. Patreon.com/Star Wars Report to get poor Mark a heater. No. All right, I'm going to bring in the producer of this fine program. He's joining us this week for the first episode of 2017. It's the illustrious, the magnificent, the dashing Bruce Gibson, everybody. Welcome, welcome, Bruce.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me. I have two heaters going, one from the house and one from my space heater, so I got double whammy heat.
And you're making Mark jealous of it.
I am. I need one coming from the back. It's kind of cold. I'm getting a draft. I'm like, oh, I need a blanket. Darth Maul.
Oh, man. It's been, guys, we have so much to talk about. We have a bunch of Rogue One thoughts that I'm going to do. We're going to talk about, Mark had an interesting family experience watching Rogue One. He's going to tell us all about it. And it's a new year. It's more Star Wars. We can barely blink. And the new season of Rebels is literally like on television as we're recording this, just wrapped up. We haven't had the chance to see the episode yet. But that's going on, and of course, we're in the midst of planning for Star Wars Celebration. It's just an amazing time to be a Star Wars fan. I couldn't be more excited. So I want to, you know what, let's just jump straight into, well, I'm going to call it news, because you know what, when I got this text from one Mark Herleman about his mother.
We have something to report.
Santosa, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
There it is. Listen, listen.
Breaker, breaker. Mark Herleman took his mom to see Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and I can't think of a better way to launch into some additional discussion about this Star Wars film than have you tell us all about it, Mark. Please do.
Well, yeah, I was telling a friend on Facebook, hey, if you're in town, you know, I work at the theater, let me know, I'll take you to the movie. And then all of a sudden, I look down in the comment section about 12 minutes later, and I go, wait, is that my mom saying, when we going? And so I'm like, okay, my mom wants to go see. My mom doesn't go to the theaters. Like,
yeah.
The last time my mom went to a theater was like 93, maybe even earlier than that.
What?
Like, wait, why so long? She doesn't like sitting in the chairs for that long of a period. She's got a bad back and stuff. So sitting for a long period, as movies got longer, like Last of the Mohicans, I think that was the last movie she saw in theater. So, she's, I mean, like, she watches movies at home and stuff. And so she waits for it to come out. But
that's more like, so Last of, like, the movie, wow, theaters.
Go. My dad goes all the time. And so she's like, well, all my friends are talking about this Rogue One movie and I can't talk about it. And your dad's like, well, my son's taking me to a movie and my son's going to take me to a movie. And my son's taking me to this movie, because I take my dad all the time. Yeah. And so my mom's like, you know, so are you going to take me? I'm like, yeah, I'll take you when you want to go. And she's like, well, we can go tonight. I'm like, all right. So we were going to go and watch it around like 6 at night last night. And then my sister came home and my sister was wanting to take my mom and dad somewhere that night. And so my mom's like, well, okay, well, maybe we'll just redo it. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll do, when I'm looking at my clock, I go, well, you know, we got 30 minutes. We can do the early one that we couldn't do before because we had no sitter if Amber could watch the kids. And so she's like, yeah, we'll do it. And so we just jumped in the car. We booked down. We get over there and, you know, my mom's all excited. She's talking about it and all that. And I'm like, you know, explain to her some of the Easter eggs. You know, you want, when you get to the Yavin base, you want to look at the word Alliance. And when it gets down, you're going to see the ship parked there. That's the ghost. And, you know, and giving her some of these things. Cause, you know, my mom's also deaf in one ear.
Mark,
so
I feel like you should be priming her on, like, who the rebellion is, or maybe just a quick reminder of Darth Vader. Like, you're getting really detailed here.
Well, and that's kind of where I was at. Was like, this is her jam, was these movies. Like, she never watched the prequels. She was one of those that was like, you know, Lucas should have never messed with it. When she found out he did those special editions, she was done with Star Wars. And so my dad and me got into the books and stuff. So my mom was always like, from afar, like, that, you know, she was like that odd man out because it wasn't her Star Wars anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lucas tampered with it. So I was really weird. Like, I wasn't sure she was ever going to want to see it in the first place. So take her, I was kind of trepidatious and I was watching her throughout it, you know, as we're doing it and stuff. But so like all the girl scenes with the pilots and stuff, I explained to her, you know, some of those were the cut scenes from Rogue One or Return of the Jedi and stuff. So when we got out, that was one of the first things she was talking about, was like, she thought there was way too many there, that they didn't need that much. So I was like, really? Like, okay. Like, I thought it was great. Like, all right. Didn't like Diego Luna. She liked the diverse cast. She thought it was odd that there were a lot of London accents throughout it, but she just had a hard time with him. She didn't buy into his.
I know why. It was because he shot the informant at the beginning, and she wouldn't forgive him.
No, because my mom likes that kind of stuff. She kind of thought that gave him some respect, but she didn't really care for his accent so much, which was odd. But she liked Jin, and she really liked K2. K2 was her favorite character. Because my son, when he found out Grandma went to go and see it, because we snuck out, we didn't even tell the kids we were going. We just left, went out the back door.
Well, and like,
so
this is
he's texting her. What was your favorite character, Grandma?
I mean, yeah, this is like a historic Hurleman household moment.
Yeah, well, I took my daughter, the 4-year-old, to it the day before, and we didn't even make it all the way through it. And so I was kind of like bringing that up, and my mom was like, yeah, we could go watch it today. So I was like, yeah, let's do it, you know. So we got to that part where they put the bag over Chirrut, and he's like, are you kidding me? I'm blind. That's Jaina's favorite part. She's been quoting it nonstop. But when she says it, it's with more, I'm blind. Like, she loses her Sith right through the line. I love it. She cannot deliver. But that was her favorite part. She got bored. She wanted to go. My mom, she liked it. She didn't know at all that Tarkin was CG. She did realize, though, Leia was CG. She knew about that, but I kept the Tarkin one quiet. Well, I wasn't really telling her much about that.
Could we pull into the parking space here for just a second here? Because I want to know about that experience, because I have heard from quite a few people that, especially since this Nightline piece came out, it was just a couple days ago, was it last night or the night before, Nightline did a feature where they interviewed John Knoll and they talked about the process of getting to bringing Tarkin back to life via another actor. And because it sparked a big controversy, it's fascinating to me, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about it a little here. But the idea is I've heard nothing neutral about this. I've either heard this is the most remarkable CGI effect ever, and I didn't even know it, or my mom, in your case, didn't even know that it was CGI. And then I've heard, oh man, this sucked. It was awful. I can't believe they did that. And it's a, you know, they're just destroying the grave of Peter Cushing. How dare they? And I hear nothing neutral, but you're saying your mom didn't even realize it was CGI.
Yeah, no. When I told her that Tarkin, I'm all, yeah, the actor's been dead for a couple years now, I think. And she's like,
yep.
Really? I didn't even know. And I was like, yeah, like they had another guy in. They layered it. Like they did a really good job with that one. And she's like, yeah. She's like, I knew Leia was CGI, and I thought they did a good job with that. And so yeah, she got a kick out of that. And then of course we talked about the you know, you're part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor, that line, you know, no, I just watched you launch. Like we thought that was kind of funny and stuff. She didn't like the end in the aspect that everybody, you know, keep it as spoiler free as I am. I think you probably know how it ends by now, though. If you haven't, you should watch some of the trailers. It catered to me on so many levels. So we were talking about that, you know, like, because my mom's known I'm an EU fan for a long time. And so, you know, because she's not into the prequels and stuff, she was paying attention to what was going on in my fandom in that regard. And then her grandkids are all named after EU characters. So, you know, she was interested to hear about, you know, my opinions on how it differed and the things that they, you know, mirrored and things like that. Like, you know, Jyn Erso kind of sounding like Jen and those little things, like when Kyle Katarn took the mission before and how the data plants were all over in the original story. And now it was all consolidated in one, the whole plot of the reactor being put in there the way it was, you know, those were things that I had been hoping for and talking to her about for years. So there was something for the first time we were able to chat about, which was really fun for me. I've not had many opportunities to do that with my mom. I mean, me and my dad, we've done that for a long time, but my mom, she parks her geek and she usually doesn't bring it out to play.
Now, has she seen The Force Awakens?
No. No, she still hasn't even seen The Force Awakens. So, yeah, that's...
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, like, so now I got to see... Now I got to test and see if she's interested to see it. Now, I've got it on...
Exactly. Now's the true test. Now's the true test of will, you know, will she be intrigued? Because, like, there's no future here. If you watch this movie, there's no... I mean, the sequel's already been made, as they say. Insert really obvious joke about the A New Hope sequel being sequeled.
Yeah.
Did you guys guess, you know, I heard they're making a sequel and they're bringing George Lucas to direct the sequel to Rogue One?
That's amazing.
He's coming
because,
back.
Wait, because it's already out. Get it?
I know someone who would fall for that because there's a woman at our office. She's in her 50s, had never seen a Star Wars movie. So she comes to work and she's like, hey, I saw Rogue One. I actually got to see a Star Wars movie. And she starts telling me how she liked it and everything. And then she says, you know, and then the ending came and Carrie Fisher comes out and then it ended. And I thought to myself, yep. They're setting it up so they can make another one. You can tell.
She
has no idea.
She did not. Oh, you are kidding.
Yes, that's
me.
A true story. She has no idea.
Oh, good heavens. That's a bit. So, all right. So let's roll through. So how many times was that for you, Mark? What how many rounds have you been through?
Seven. My seventh time. And I'm actually thinking I might actually write down some thoughts on it. I've had those thoughts from the start about this movie being about trust. And
sure. Yeah.
I was looking up the definition of the word trust and hope. And hope's second definition is a feeling of trust. I was like, ha! Okay. So, I mean, I've been on to something about trust all the way through this movie. When you watch the vision that Jyn has of her mom, the two words that her mom says to her are trust and Galen. And, you know, like I said, the whole plot revolves around that. Do the rebels trust her in trusting Galen? Or do they dare trust Galen themselves? You know, does Saw trust Galen? Everybody, the whole thing all hinges around that. When Luke fires the torpedoes, hell, he's trusting in Galen. And I really thought that was something that really was pretty cool. I mean, there were so many lines that reflect that and mirror that throughout it. I mean, trust goes both ways. I don't know. For me, that was one of the main factor components to this movie that kept leaping out to me as I was watching it. Though I did find each viewing I watched it, I did get a little more emotional. You know, people would say, well, you don't know these characters enough to have an emotional connection to
them. Yeah, that's a big complaint.
But by the time I'm at that seventh watch, when I hear Baze yell, Jared, I'm like, I'm welling up at that point. I'm just like, oh my God, here we go. I don't know. I mean, I've always said that Star Wars has that effect. By the time you get to any book, by its fifth reread, it becomes your favorite kind of thing. And the films, yeah, they have that way. Like by the time you watch something five times or more, you really start to connect to it and you're picking up on things in different ways. Like the music really resonated on my seventh watch. I was picking up on all the cues and stuff, the way that, you know, the pauses between the times they would transition. And that was the first time I went back and actually listened to the soundtrack afterwards. I hadn't until then. Well, Mark, and it made me appreciate that more.
I mean, what you're saying is like the more and more you watch it, the more and more you love it and connect to it. So we've watched Star Wars just too many times. If we had only watched it once, we may not be talking like this.
Yeah, that's very true. We've been brainwashed.
Is this the epiphany we're having on the podcast right now? Is this like, wait a second. Wait a second.
Is that why I love it? Next time somebody says to me, why do you love Star Wars? I'll say, because I've seen it 500 times.
That'd be good.
Marketing, they're just like, all right, we got a new movie coming out. What toys can we do? You know, they're just going to be like, just shut up and take my money. Because I will. I was just talking to my best friend, Jared, about this. I'm upstairs. I'm showing him through my phone on the video all the different Black Series figures I have. And yep. I've just got all these Rogue One ones. And that's a series I didn't think I'd ever get into. I was like, I balked at the price tag. But now the 3/5 line, it's gone to that 5 points that I hate. And that line's got the action. I've gotten addicted to these dang Hot Wheels more so than even the diecast figures. The playability factor alone is just so addicting.
Yeah.
And then you think about, you know, I went back with the after Christmas card money and all that stuff. And we went to Freddy's, and the things that you would buy for your nephews and nieces that cost you $20 are now $5. It's like, oh man, that's the time to go shopping for your Star Wars swag.
I'm telling you, man.
So many Hot Wheels that I paid only $1.50 for. I found, dude, this is great.
I went to, I was very disciplined, gentlemen, because I stumbled into Target yesterday, I believe it was. And I definitely came across a bunch of Funko Pops. They had the Episode 1 Young Anakin and the Cassian Andor for $5. And I didn't buy either, which, by the way, if you just look right here on the screen, folks, you're watching on Facebook, I definitely am partial to the Funko Pops.
I got my chopper in the back. They're addicting. I stopped at 4 droids. I'm like, okay.
Man, it's a problem. Those things are so amazing. And in fact, Walmart just announced they're doing an exclusive run with including, I always forget his real name because I call him Buttface.
Buttface. Oh, Baba. Panda Baba.
Or as we established on our commentary, our New Year's Eve commentary, Panda and the Doctor, which is the name of their spinoff Netflix series.
Cockroaches. I still love when you said that. I'm going to forever call them the cockroaches now.
I mean, in more ways than one, folks. I have thoughts on Rogue One, and I'm interested, Bruce, in seeing how many times you're totaled up to, and I will reveal as well how many times I've seen it. Spoiler alert, it's not as many as Mark. But right after, I want to tell you guys about our first sponsor for today, and of course, that's Geek Fuel. Now, Geek Fuel is an amazing company. They've been supporting the Star Wars Report and the entire run of Star Wars Tonight podcasts in the lead up and now the aftermath of Rogue One. And what they do is they ship out a monthly subscription box full of amazing goodies for geeks, gamers, and Star Wars fans. Every box has, here's the thing, guys. Every box has $50 worth of value guaranteed. Just for $15 plus shipping and handling, make sure you check them out. They're doing every box contains like posters, T-shirts, really cool, unique knickknacks. I got this Game of Thrones. We're right now we're going through a family rewatch of Game of Thrones. My mom has never seen it, and of course we're doing the VidAngel versions because we're taking them down to PG-13. I have thoughts.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. We won't get into it, but suffice to say, we just watched season 6, episode 5. For those of you who watch Game of Thrones, but I'm not talking about doorstops. I'm talking about this amazing toothbrush holder. That's a dragon egg. It's the best thing ever. That's the kind of stuff they do. They send out boxes packed with all kinds of surprise goodies. Here's what you want to do. They're giving Star Wars fans a free bonus item and a free bonus Star Wars item with your first order when you go to geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report and make sure you sign up through that link. Again, that's geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. We do appreciate them for supporting this program here. Now, Bruce, tell me all about Rogue One for you. Where are you at? We're now into the new year. How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it 0 times this year. And last year, I saw it 3 times. And it's only 3 because I want to starve myself for a while. Because I want to go and like, I can't take it anymore. I've got to see it. You know, it's like when you go on a diet and you can't eat something for a while, then you're just craving it and craving it. So I'm at that point now that I'm really craving it.
So you're
it.
Saying it's the new year, new yeah. you. It's time to cut things back. It's time to be disciplined and sort of define yourself and just save yourself up as you prepare for that next viewing. Which begs yes. the question, when is that next viewing?
Well, I was hoping it would be today until we had snow, but I don't know. Probably next weekend.
Okay. See, my thing is, so for everybody who's listening and, of course, watching the Facebook feed as well, I just want everyone to know I'm better than Bruce because I've seen it 4 times. It would be 5. I missed the 5th time because I got deathly ill between Christmas and the New Year's, actually, like on Christmas Day. And so here's how bad it was. My family, literally with my dad. Oh, my dad was in town. He works with the State Department and he's never in town on the holidays. This is the first year my dad has been home for the holidays. I'll be home. Home since 2010, which was, by the way, fun trivia fact, the first year we ever did the midnight blow up the Death Star tradition was back in 2010. And he was there with us. And so it's been literally 7 years since he was in town for the holidays. And I kid you not, I was desperately trying not to be sick. And then just the horrible worst fever ever struck Christmas Day. And that's when everyone else in my family went to see Rogue One. Except poor old Riles, who is laying in bed, hating his very existence. Ugh.
That sucks. Oh, that really sucks. So the last time you saw it was the last time I saw
was
it.
Was with
then.
You. Yeah, that was my yeah. point. Yeah.
Because I remember you were one ahead of me.
Yeah, Bruce and I...
You guys are in the same boat.
Exactly. Bruce and I saw it. We saw it at the... Regal Atlantic Station, but in their RPX cinema, because I always like to kind of try out different formats for the movie. And so we went to the RPX, which is a 3D presentation that's a very high quality projection, and it's almost but not quite as large a screen as an IMAX, but it's ostensibly the same to me. It's also not quite the same format, but the important thing is that it has Dolby Atmos surround sound, which is Dolby's premium sound service. And I'm a big sound and music geek. So the fact that it is these many, many, many more times the points of sound than a regular IMAX or regular movie theater would be, they have, in fact, it's basically a patented system where they have ceiling speakers. So it's a full, almost 360 sound experience.
Nice.
And it sounds great. It's the kind of thing that is you go there because the third time you watch a movie, you'll notice more. It's not seeing an IMAX 3D opening night, you know, that was... You know, it's fine. It's more than enough, but it's fun to go to some of these premium format. Although that'll be the last time I go to that theater to see Rogue One because the tickets, woo!
Yeah, it was like 20, 21 bucks, something like that.
Oh!
Ew! Yeah.
Saw you coming.
Yeah, it was not particularly affordable at all. But worth it. Sacrificed for just seeing the premium format. But I think with the fourth viewing, I'm kind of in your boat. I'm getting the hankering again, Bruce. But my thing is I always want an excuse to go see it with friends who haven't seen it or family members who want to see it again. I want to see it with somebody I haven't seen it with yet. And
see, that's what's kept me to 7 is that because I can go and watch it as many times as I want, but I'm like...
But you
want
to take somebody. Right?
Yeah, because I was looking over at my mom. I was like, because I was talking to my best friend, Jared, who's in the chat. He still hasn't seen it. And I'm like, dude, if you could come down here, I'd take you. You know, I mean, you've got to see this movie. You've got to see it, Jared. But that's the thing. It's like going and seeing it with somebody adds to the value of it for me at that point. Like, I'm able to point out the little things that I like the most. You know, like, hey, you're going to see it over here.
Yeah.
Look over in this corner right here. You're going to see Chopper rolling right. Yeah. Oh, listen to that. General Syndulla. Like, of course, my mom, she didn't really care on those things. But, you know, our other friends do, you know, the sure. friends that like the Star Wars like I do. And then, of course, there's those experiments, you know, like my friend Noelle, who also is watching right now. I still remember we watched the special editions. She'd never watched Star Wars. And we were all just watching to see how she was going to take it all in. We're just like, so what'd you think? And I still want to know.
Yeah.
The person that's never seen any Star Wars film when they watch that one. I mean, Bruce, you said it was an older lady that you came across that. That's interesting to me. Like when they watch the rest of the films, what they're going to think, because Rogue One was their first Star Wars experience.
Right. And she said she's not going to watch the others.
What?
Oh, bummer. Ew.
I said,
is she afraid they're all going to die at the end?
Goes, oh, I like it if somebody invited me to a movie again, but I'm not going to go at home and just watch it myself.
Oh, bummer.
But she did like Rogue One. So
for longtime Star Wars Report listeners, maybe we need to do a repeat of the Jamie experiment. Which, by the way, the most fun I've ever had going introducing someone to a Star Wars to the Star Wars saga who'd never seen them before was doing it and just like taking copious notes and watching reactions and then talking all about it on the podcast afterwards. We're terrible. My sister's like, well, my friend's never seen Star Wars. You guys want to like do some get-togethers over the summer and get together? And I'm like, well, yes, I do, as I prepare my ongoing series segment for the podcast as we turn it into content. I'm like, yes, please, we will do that. When was that? That's been a while. That was so much fun. So much fun. Brian in the chat is going to go to see it for the fifth time for his birthday. So there you go. So yeah, excellent. I guess what I'm saying is I missed my dad. That would have been time number five. And then I also missed my older sister, Cindy, because the holiday schedule meant that they weren't able to get a time where they could see it with us and do the babysitting thing and all that stuff. So I say all that to say I'm feeling a few more times, but I don't know how many. I don't know. I don't think it's going to make it up to the Force Awakens number, which was 11. Although technically...
I think I might be able to get there. I know there's a couple of coworkers that would be itching to go see it that they haven't had a chance and they're low on funds. I'll be like, my friend Darnell, I think I could get him to go.
You know, everyone but, always see, does.
At the same time, I'm like, at what point do I tap out on Easter egg-ish type materials?
Well, and see, like, here's the other thing I wonder about Rogue One is like, should we do a commentary? I know that Scott Rifen, who we were down with in Brunswick, yeah. He did a big like joint commentary with Steve Glosson and Stuart Tullis from Techno Retro Dads, and they did like the debut. They turned it out. It was like the next day, but like I wanted to, as much as I love the guys, I kind of want to do a commentary legal. I would make it legal, and by that I mean I think it'd be kind of cool to literally just find a middle of the afternoon show time in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now when we know nobody's gonna be in the theater. And then just take hide the microphones. I guess this probably isn't legal.
This is deja vu, because that's what you said for The Force Awakens, and we never did it.
Oh, yeah. Did I?
Well, me and Jaina almost got away with that, because when we went and saw it, there was one lady, and then the movie started, and then about 15 minutes into it, a dad brought his two little girls, and they were all up at the front, and we were at the very back. Like, I could have totally done that. I was thinking about that. I was like, ooh, I was looking at the clock going, this is the perfect time right here. Go with 3D. Think about that. 3D. Nobody likes to go see 3D if they can get around it. I mean, at least in my town. So I'm like,
I love
3D. Where it's at.
Yeah, I'm terrible, but I do love 3D. Come at me, bro. Come at me, bro. I love my 3D.
Robbing and weaving and dodging.
Wow. So much to talk about. So much to talk about. We have to touch on Star Wars Rebels, because they introduced the big teaser. The mid-season break for Star Wars Rebels, and I have thoughts.
This is the Star Wars Report Podcast. Boring conversation, anyway.
That's right, folks. Grand old time here on the Star Wars Report Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's happening. I love, you can hear it in the distance. I regret. the voice of James Arnold Taylor's Obi-Wan.
Kanan?
Jedi Order. This is Master Obi-Wan, Obi-Wan Kenobi. This message is a warning for any surviving Jedi. Is a warning, Dark Shadow. This is a warning. Warning.
Warning.
You've been warned.
You have been warned. It's an incredible trailer. I'm going to skip right to the end here. It's a pretty long trailer, but I want you guys to listen. We get a lot. There's a lot in this trailer, but there's one specific part that I really just have to highlight. Take a quick listen right here.
Come on, bust some buckets.
We will show the galaxy what happens to those who dare speak against the Emperor.
Not if I can help it.
We'll never surrender to you, Thrawn.
I'm not accepting surrenders. I want utter defeat. Crashing down upon you.
We're gonna die.
You're in the wrong place.
You're in the wrong place.
Oh yeah.
This is Kenobi Town.
That's right, folks. Get out of here, Darth Maul. This is my town. My town. I mean, it's not much of a town, fine, but it's Kenobi Town. Woo woo.
It's like old wounds is finally going to have its third incarnation or something like that. I think for me, the thing about the confrontation between Kenobi and Maul that gets me the most excited is I think Kenobi has to kill Maul. There has to be that redemption.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, with Lucas bringing Maul back to life, that was such a blow to my Kenobi self-esteem.
Well, but here's the chance for redemption. And to quote my favorite Jedi, warning. Warning. Listen to that. By the way, just an amazing trailer. We get to see Saw Gerrera. They're returning literally on the episode that just aired. They're returning to Geonosis. They're tying it directly with the construction of the Death Star. And Star Wars Rebels is connected with Rogue One. It's amazing. We get to see that. More Thrawn. We still can't.
Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma, and we still can't understand a word Thrawn is saying. So there's that.
Yeah, but Kanan's
am I the only one?
Sabine to use the darksaber.
That set my
fandom needle of oh my god overboard. I was just like, you got to train now. You have to like you've got it. So like you've got to be good with it. You've got to be like Vizsla. Oh my lord! Like that.
I
got so tickled.
Well, here's the thing, because like I want to be transparent because I always try to be positive, but I also don't like being a sycophant or I like being honest with you guys. And so I've really struggled with a lot of this, the first half of this season of Rebels. I really feel like a lot of the character storytelling is very, very much in the filler category. And the kind of when Rebels is at its best, I think, is when these characters are growing and maturing and facing challenges that are transformational. And so, like, that's why I loved the end of last season, because it was Ahsoka's big moment. It was Ezra. Ezra had faced something he'd never faced with in terms of encountering Maul and his growth as a character. And to say nothing of Kanan, who literally visually and spiritually and physically transformed because he was blinded. It was amazing, but like none of that has really happened that much this semester. This semester, look at me. This season. But I will say this: this is what intrigues me, is because the idea of like Maul confronting Obi-Wan and what that means to Ezra, and what in what ways he might be challenged and grown. That's what I love. I'll just put it this way. I think with Star Wars Rebels, it's sort of like if the first 25 minutes of A New Hope were turned into three seasons of television. And it's at some point you're like, come on, Luke, stop whining and grow up. So Ezra has had some amazing moments, but I'm ready for him to really come into his own. Same thing with Sabine. I really hope there's a lot of potential here to really see her grow as a character as she's being trained by Kanan, accepting the Darksaber, being involved with the Mandalorian clans. Like there's something with her that I think there's a lot of potential
you
there too.
Tickled so. Something in my head. I've been kicking around an idea for a while, but the thought about Sabine, you know, going and training with the Darksaber, you know, I was always kind of like, ooh, you know, maybe that'll be something where that puts her in a path where her and Ezra will get closer, you know, because they'll have something more in common. I've always been shipping those two. But talking about the fact that Maul is, in a sense, Ezra's master, we could see a ring theory or a mirroring of what we saw with Anakin and Sidious or Vader and Luke, where Maul's there to kill Kenobi and Kenobi's winning and Ezra shows up and intervenes to save Maul. And it gets him to have this, you know, interaction with Ezra eventually, because I keep going to this fan theory on my own that Rey is somehow a Kenobi relation. And wouldn't it be great to find out that Sabine is Satine and Kenobi's kid? And there's this other connection with Ezra now through this confrontation with Maul. And, you know, that could be what the lightsaber was drawn to Rey from. I just keep hoping that they're doing something like that in the aspect of keeping it family-like, because that's still out there and wide open. I mean, we know the filming for episode 8's done, but I'm still like, who is Rey's parentage? And I was always leaning Skywalker, but I've been leaning towards Kenobi. And now suddenly all this interest in Rebels with Kenobi, we're watching Saw be brought in from Rogue One, the tying Saw in from Rogue One with the Clone Wars. There's all this interweaving. It's like, they can't be doing this for just the heck of it, right?
Maybe. ratings.
I just don't see it, Mark. I just don't see it.
I know.
It just seems so complicated.
it's Star Wars is what Star Wars, the Star Wars cinematic universe is what is never is at its best simple. And they've been really good recently about keeping things simple. Maybe a little bit too much so with The Force Awakens, but honestly, that kind of we'll leave that kind of myth making and complex plot interrelations to Game of Thrones. I'm pretty sure that's where that kind of like complex interaction is going to go. It'd be cool, but I just don't see it happening. I guess is what I'm saying. Star Wars Rebels, I'm excited. I really do hope it picks up a lot, and I'm pretty sure it will. I like what I'm seeing, and here's what they do. They're really good at like season premiere. It's like Clone Wars, the season premieres and mid-season finales, and then the mid-season premieres and mid-season finales. Those are always really good. The episodes in between sometimes are just a little bit slow on the uptick, but you know, that's just the way things go. And of course, you know, who am I to complain? We literally get off the aftermath talking about the, well, how many, have you seen it 3 or 4 times? I don't know. I've seen it 4 times. I'm great. We're watching Star Wars movies several times per week. Oh, and also there's a TV show. Oh, and there's more novels. Oh, and then we're in the same year as another release. Oh, let's just complain about that. The one sliver of content that Riley's like, well, you know, they could be a little more significant with the plot points on the, you know, weekly Star Wars television show that's on air for your viewing pleasure. Like, I sometimes I need to give myself some perspective and just not be that guy who's like, well, you know, the development of Ezra, you know, in fact, upon reflection, I'm beginning to hate myself from 5 minutes ago. You know, me 5 minutes ago, I'm telling that guy to shut up.
Riley, you know, it's part of being a fan, man. If you're not putting your foot in your mouth at least once or twice a month, you're not doing it right.
Ponder on. Welcome to the world of Star Wars podcasting. That was the most schizophrenic segment of the Star Wars Report I think I've ever done. Man, we've got a lot more updates, but we had so much conversation on Rogue One. We have time for a couple more, but I also do want to tell you about our second sponsor for today, and of course that's Entertain Art. Entertain Art is official, licensed, and ready to hang wall art from Star Wars, Disney, and Marvel, and DC, and so many more studios. They have really beautifully crafted and wonderfully mounted canvassed artwork that they provide to Star Wars fans. And they have an amazing selection of Star Wars artwork, including Rogue One. I really, really like what they had. And they sent us this amazing Rey portrait as well that we've got. I've got it upstairs in the guest room hanging right now. It's absolutely amazing artwork. By the way, they also do embellished products by hand. More than 1,000 designs available at their website, entertainart.com. And of course, make sure you use discount code SWR20, and that gives you 20% off your order. It's a great time. If you have any Christmas cash, now's the time. That's a unique item for your collection or your Star Wars room. Go to StarWarsReport.com/art. That's StarWarsReport.com/art. Again, use code SWR20, and we do thank Entertain Art for sponsoring the Star Wars Report program. All right, folks, let's talk about it. We've got, I want to talk about this story because we have some updates of Gareth Edwards' cameo and some other cool revelations. We're going to be doing a lot more Rogue One talk here in just like a hot second. We've got quite a few more weeks, some really cool guests coming up that are going to help us dissect Rogue One. And I also want to take this opportunity to say that because of my schedule this semester, this is a little bit, I'm going to pull the curtain back. Because of my schedule this semester and because of getting ready to graduate and commission the Air Force and a few other things, the Star Wars Report scheduling is tough. And that's why I only have a few minutes here left for the show tonight. But having said that, I'm just going to take a time right, towards the end of the show to make a really big announcement because that's how I roll.
Announcements!
Exactly. If you're one of these people that listens to the first segment and then bailed, you don't know. But if you're listening to us live on Facebook or on the podcast, you're getting the heads up.
Missing the gold, man. The cheddar cheese.
Exactly. The Star Wars Report is going to bi-weekly. Now, you might be asking, there are two definitions to that word. You mean you're only going to be publishing an episode twice a month? No. I mean that we're going to be publishing a Star Wars Report episode twice a week, starting now. What? that's right, folks. I act like I'm surprised. I'm the one who hatched this plan. I'm very excited because I was talking to my fine producer who happens to be on this call, conveniently so, about this very problem that we've often had, which is it's very difficult to do the Star Wars Report, the show that's evolved over the years where it's us talking about, the latest news, the latest bits, the latest appearances. It's just news and commentary. We talk about what you talk about. We just do a podcast about it. That's what the Star Wars Report is. It's just an hour of awesome, fun Star Wars talk. And that's what I've always wanted it to be. But the thing is it's always been, I love having guests on, especially when we did Star Wars Tonight in the lead up to The Force Awakens. And it's so much fun. But there are way more guests that I want than hours in the show we can have. And it's kind of difficult sometimes to get, an interview in on a week where there's big news, where I have to choose between doing an awesome interview or, doing the actual main show. And sometimes that doesn't work too well if you try to incorporate them both into the same show. So we're literally doing twice a week. Every Monday morning, we will release the regular Star Wars Report podcast. It's going to be an hour. It's going to be me, Mark, Bruce will be rotating in, Bethany will be rotating in, friends of the show and people from the Star Wars Report Network. Basically, the cadre of folks that that you've come to know and love. I'm sure Steve Glosson and a lot of other awesome folks will be rotating them on the main show. But the Thursday morning edition, that's right, folks, that's going to be our time to do a special dedicated discussion or a special long-form interview. That's going to be just the time to release that. And sometimes we'll record both like in a giant live stream and we'll do both live and then I'll publish them throughout the week. Sometimes I'll be at events and conventions and it'll be my excuse to actually schedule and do long-form interviews on location. Like there are all kinds of really cool things I think having this twice a week release schedule is going to be. And so I'm very excited. I think I'm a little nervous, guys. It's a little bit... excuse me. It's going to be a little tough getting the schedule going, but the only reason I can do this at all is for a few people. Mainly, Bruce Gibson, who's on the call, who is acting as producer and helping do the show prep and the guest emails and the content calendar and all these things that I used to have to do solo, he's helping out with. So that actually makes this possible. So,
it's because of me you get more Riley.
Well, actually, we're going to get a lot more Bruce, too, now that we'll have the window to have you on for the Monday shows as well. And then also, this will be Mark's opportunity, because, Mark, we're going to schedule interviews with you, because we had this one, we had this, when was it? It was about last year, about this time, we had this incredible opportunity where you emailed the author of Beyond the Awakening. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Greg Rucka.
Thank you, Greg Rucka. And it was a great interview, an incredible interview. So, like, we're going to have more opportunities for that. And also, it's thanks to our sponsors and, of course, for you guys directly supporting us at Patreon. I got this amazing email from Patreon, and they kind of did the summary of the year and everyone who jumped on board and supported us. And I wasn't even planning on doing it during this segment, but I really do want to just say a big thank you to everyone who supported us, especially everyone who jumped on board in this last year. We've got some really fun exclusive content planned for you guys as well, in addition to our Thursday show, which will be open for everyone. And I just wanted to say also a big thanks to our latest patron. In fact, our latest patron, which I... oh, there we go. Our latest patron, who is, I have to make sure. There we go. Alan. Alan is Robertson is our latest patron. I wanted to just say thank you, because I always want to take the time on the show to actually say thank you to the people who jump on board. So, Alan, thank you so much for jumping on, and everyone who supported us. And if you're interested in supporting the show, just hop on over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport, and we do appreciate that. So thank you for letting me indulge myself for a second and talk about the actual show. Like I said, I didn't want to like take up time at the beginning because I want to get straight to the main content, but like for everyone, this Thursday, it's just going to be a surprise. Surprise! It's going to be this Thursday's episode, I'm pretty sure, is going to be a really rowdy and fun pre-show that we had leading up to the commentary. That we just released this last week with Steve Glosson and Scott Rifen and me and Bethany. It was nuts. It was awesome. What a night. And also, that was so much fun doing that commentary live and blowing up the Death Star.
it was.
Just an incredible time. Just an incredible time. All right, I'm going to take a few minutes here also to get to y'all's feedback because of how crazy the schedule has been. I haven't been able to get to all of it. And I think I've some, I'm terrible with email. Some may have gotten lost in the shuffle. If you've emailed before, or even if you're thinking about emailing, especially your thoughts on Rogue One, we do want to continue that and encourage that discussion. Email us StarWarsReport@gmail.com, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. I want to feature a final moment to feature an email from Chris. And he says, "Hey, SWR. So let's live in a world where Lucas made Rogue One, and it has to come time to re-release A New Hope. What changes? Oh, this is a good question. Would GL make to better connect the two films? We just did a full commentary on A New Hope, so now's the time. I don't know. What do you think, Bruce?
Wow, that's a really good question. I would say." Gosh, I mean, Rogue One works so well with A New Hope that I don't even think there needs to be any changes. But wait, before you do that, I'm going to just say, maybe it's just like we put something in the background, like a cameo of K2 or something like that, just like in the background. So there's some more connection, Mark. But I know you got something even better than that.
Yeah. There's so many things that we could add. You could change some of the dialogue between Vader and Leia at the beginning. You can maybe add a little bit of what's going on.
Actually, Mark, if I may, I hate to interrupt, but if we may, I think we can't just like allude to it. We have to say what it would be, because of course, he'd be like, "You are part of the Rebel Alliance because I just saw you taking off on the Tantive IV away from the Battle of Scarif and a traitor." Like that.
Ooh, yeah, lie to me, you Alderaanian ambassador.
Wait, now my answer. Wait, hold on. George Lucas would make Tarkin CG on A New Hope.
Oh, he would.
Yes.
He would in a heartbeat. beat.
That would.
But he would say the same lines and everything.
Yeah. He would literally just be.
I could see that be the case. But the biggest one is that Kenobi and Vader fight. I mean, I still can't believe he did it the last four times. He went back to A New Hope and tinkered with it.
You're
add some
stuck on this,
old man,
Mark.
With his hoodie up. Get any old buddy out there with a Vader costume and make that fight as intense as Vader walking onto the Tantive IV's loading bay. I mean, that was like,
Mark.
One really got
Mark.
To
you
me.
Will never
those, and then
ever
add some U-wings into
this.
The main
I don't
battle.
Understand.
That'd be about it.
I just don't get it, Mark. You will never let go of this. Here's the thing: every time we talk about A New Hope, this comes up, and I feel like if Mark were George Lucas, here's what would happen. He'd get like some stunt guy and he would be doing flips and twirls. He'd be like Yoda and Attack of the Clones.
He wouldn't go Yoda. We wouldn't make Vader go Yoda. Not even Kenobi. But we got to add something.
Every time
I watch it, Kenobi's doing the two-hand. Because I think about that commentary where they're like, well, when we were first told to do it, we were told to use the lightsabers with two hands. And they didn't tell us the weight of it. And then later they're all fencing with them and stuff. It's like, then you get back to that and you're like, man, there they are with those medieval approaches to everything.
I just be like, you can't win, Darth. Woohoo! Wah! Wishy! It would just be like,
or have a part where Vader walks up the stairs and he's like, who's got the high ground now, Kenobi? You're like, yes!
That's right. No, I am the master. How was that for a sick burn?
No, it's a Sith burn. Kind of like the one you left me with on Mustafar.
And then I feel like at the end when he like goes right through, he's just going to take this lightsaber. It's going to be, he ignites it, sends it through the ghostly apparition of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he's just being like, lost a little weight. And then he turns to camera and this is just like, hey, get it? Get it?
Yeah, the only other thing I would change would be the exhaust port itself, because every time I look at the exhaust port and I think about the way that the missiles drop down into it, I'm like, why even do the trench run at all? Loop around, come at the Death Star from above and just zero in on that thing like Washwood in Serenity and launch that sucker from a way out and just watch it just drop in like a bowling ball. I mean, they should change the angle of that so them going down that shaft makes more sense.
I think they would be under
the blue on top of that escape pod. Okay, I'm done.
They would be.
That has nothing to do with connecting it to Rogue One, though. You'd make these changes
before Rogue One.
At this point, man, we're
make
terrible.
It better.
Oh, wait, for
better
the love
connect.
Of Pete.
Well, okay.
What do you do? Take the crawl out now?
Better connect.
No, it wouldn't even take the crawl out. It would just be like, it would start and it would be like. It is a period of civil war. Oh, screw that. We don't need this. And then it'd just be like smash cut. Done. Did you see that? They shut down the main reactor. We'll be destroyed for sure. Folks, that puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Man, thanks a big thanks to everyone who supported the show in 2016. It's so great. We have so many big plans. Thanks especially to everyone supporting us on Patreon. And a big thank you to our supporters and our sponsors, Entertain Art. Make sure you check out StarWarsReport.com/art, as well as, of course, GeekFuel.com/StarWarsReport. Mr. Bruce Gibson, thank you for such an amazing year, dude. I mean,
yes, bigger year this year.
I don't know how we're going to top last year with Dragon Con and Celebration Europe. And then we did, we did so much. We did New York Comic Con. It was nuts. It was absolutely insane. But I do have faith that through the fine efforts of people like you, and my dear co-host, Mark Herleman, we're going to have an incredible year. Speaking of which, Mr. Mark Herleman, thank you so much for an amazing 2016.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It always is.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's good to have a network where you can host our shows. I was telling my friend about it. He's like, you podcast with your kids? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I say, if you're one of the new listeners especially, we had a huge... I mean, seriously, guys, I was shocked. We had a huge uptick of people jumping on board right as Rogue One came up. So if you're one of our brand new listeners, welcome home to the most crazy irreverent and fun hour of Star Wars podcasting that we can possibly put on. It's so much fun. Thanks so much for coming on board. We'll be back this Thursday and then again next Monday and so forth and so on as we sally forth into 2017. Brief recording update for the folks who are watching live. There will be no main live show. We might do some kind of live stream, but there'll be no live show next weekend because I will be at Disney. Woo! Ooh. I'm actually going down to I'm going down with some friends to go to see Disney, but also it's kind of special because it's the there's a big Carrie Fisher tribute that they're putting together down there. So that's going to be a part of the weekend traveling. So expect some updates and some podcasting and stuff from Disney as well. But that's going to put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Man, I feel like I should have some kind of awesome words of wisdom or, you know, motivation for kicking off the new year. But I'm just going to end the podcast by saying, may the Force be with you. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. The Star Wars Report. Remember, the opinions expressed in this podcast are not the opinions of Cassian Andor or Jyn Erso or Baze Malbus or Jarrett Inway or K2SO or Orson Krennic, because they're all dead.
Or two tubes.
They're all dead. So long, folks. Until next time.
Save the dream.
Save the dream. Boogle it. Boogle it.
All right, folks, we are now officially off the stream.
We're done.
You're done.
Lies! Lies!
How does he
do? I can't. Lies! Deceptions!
That's pretty good, actually. I'm not even going to lie.
Why doesn't he talk like that on Rebels?
I don't know.
Because I will. Because he hasn't been injured yet.